Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, the qualities of a true Christian. That is what our theme is, qualities of a true Christian. Now, it's always good to look at a book and say, when the writer was writing to these people, what did he have in mind? What was he saying to them, you know, then? The idea of just picking a verse and applying to you when it wasn't written to you is not good. It's good always to say, what was the author trying to get at? And only when we bring that to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can begin to apply it to ourselves today. Now, I think before we go far with this particular book in terms of the themes and so on, let's just turn to the book of Acts, chapter 19. The book of Acts, chapter 19, verse 8. Acts, chapter 19, and verse 8. And 19 verse 8 says, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. This is where the book of Colossians comes in. There was a man called Epaphras, and he must have been converted at this particular time where Paul was preaching for 2 years. And then he went and planted this particular church. Paul didn't plant the church of Colossae, but there were other people who heard the gospel and they went and established this church. And this is where we see the role of Epaphras. So Paul was trying to say to the Colossians when he wrote the letter that what you heard from Epaphras was the authentic apostolic message. The reason why he had to say that is because some other things had begun to come in. And so the church was getting unsettled, you know, as it were. So the apostle spends his time to say, look, it is the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ that is all that you need. Right? You need to be aware that Christ is sovereign over all the rulers and the powers of the universe. It is the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ, not only in the universe, but over our lives as well. That is what you should be able to know and to apply. Now, the reason why he was saying that is because they had arisen some people like the Judaizers who had brought up something else. Some of them were practicing a certain kind of asceticism, you know, that when you do this, then you'll be all right. Others were claiming that they had a better, deeper knowledge than what, you know, Epaphras had brought to them. That they were more knowledgeable than the ordinary Christians. They were, you know, more knowledgeable. There's a kind of special knowledge that they had, which the others didn't have, as it were. And so there was some worldly wisdom. There were some human, you know, inventions and, you know, traditions. And it's not anything strange. It's very common even today. We were promised not a long time ago that the world is going to have into this what they called utopia. You know, there will be a unity, you know, in the world today. There will be no wars in the world, as it were. And hunger is going to come to an end. We are promised things like that. This is what was happening in this particular book amongst the Colossians. Don't listen to that man there. You know, Epaphras, what he brings out about Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is not sufficient. We need something more. Just like today, people say we have better ideas. No, Christ is one of the leaders. Yes, one of the past leaders. But really, we have something better today. We are going to be united, you know, as one people in the world. There will be no hunger. There will be no war. What's happening in Europe today? War is here. People are displaced, and therefore hunger is going to take place. Right? Until the Lord Jesus Christ comes, wars will continue to be there. Whether we like it or not, whether we believe it or not, it is a problem of the heart of man. And as a result of that kind of war taking place in different places, people are displaced from their fields, they are displaced from their homes, and therefore hunger is going to continue. Yes, we have enough resources in the world to be able to deal with hunger, but these resources are not really being shared as they ought to be, because people are displaced from place, you know, to place. Now, the book of Colossians has got basically two sections. The first two chapters, they are about the faith, you know, what you believe. And then the second part is the practice, you know, what you do. So put into practice, you know, what you learn. There are phrases like put on and put off, you know, put to death what is earthly in you, and put on compassion and forgiveness. Now, these are found in the book. Let me just read. If you look at Colossians 3, verse 2, Colossians 3, verse 2, it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Right? Set your minds on things above and not things, you know, on earth. If you look at verse 12, it says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, you know, and so on and so on. There is a putting on and there is a putting off, right? If you look at verse 5, chapter 3, verse 5, it says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, you know, fornication, uncleanliness, things like that. There is a practical application where you put to death things which are not right, and then you put on what, you know, is right. The book is full of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at chapter 2, verse 10, you have, and you are complete in him who is the head of all the principality and power. You are complete in whom? In the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 13, you have, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us in the kingdom of the Son of his love. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here. And the verses we read at the beginning, verses 15 to 17 there, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and things that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. So Christ is the creator, and redemption is through him. Salvation is through him and him alone. So when you look at the book of Colossians, you see the Lord Jesus Christ in literally, you know, every chapter, you know, of the book. For this morning, I want to bring out just three main lessons to do with the qualities of a true Christian. And these are basically in verses 4 and 5. That's where we are going to concentrate this morning, verse 4 and 5. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you now. Just look at the way things have been arranged there. There is a structure already that has been given to us. Right? The first thing I want to us to think about is the faith in Christ Jesus. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. That's the first thing I want us to think about. I'm saying there's a structure. There is that about the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then secondly, there is the love for all the saints. And your love for all the saints, for all the believers. And thirdly, there is the hope laid up for you in heaven. In verse 5, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven. Now these are marks of a true Christian. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And verse 13. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, we read, Remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. Now, there are three things there that are coming out very, very clearly. There is the issue of faith, there is the issue of love, and the issue of hope. These three are what I would call the evidences of the work of God in a soul. Paul is describing here a spiritual man. If you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a spiritual. You are not carnal. You are not in a natural state. Those who have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, they acknowledge no other God but Christ alone. So faith in our Lord Jesus Christ is a sign of true spiritual life. I hope you get that point there. You see, if you have faith in something, that is what you believe in, right? But now, if you are very sure that you actually have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that God sent him, that he lived on this earth, that he died, he was buried, he rose again, he's at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. If you have faith in this way of salvation, then you are in the Lord. Because he's the only way that we can have. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus made it very clear. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one else. You know, you can't go to anywhere else. There's salvation in no one else. There's no other name under which we have under heaven but which we must be saved, except the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question I want to bring to your attention is, where is your faith? Who do you believe in? Do you have a person in this world that, you know, guides your beliefs and your practice, what you believe in? Do you have someone else apart from the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you have faith in Christ, then it means you cannot believe in other gods. You cannot go anywhere else but in Christ alone. So the point is, when did you come to know the Lord as your personal Savior? Are you sure you have that faith in the Lord? Are you sure that when you are on a dying bed, you can be able to say, I am going to be with the Lord because I have believed in him? Are you sure you believe in him and not just maybe believe in something else? So the point that the writer is bringing out here is the fact that when you have faith in Christ, then you are on the right track in terms of checking whether you're a Christian or not. People have faith in, you know, faiths in different things in this world. And people tell us that there are many ways of going to heaven, just like there are many ways of climbing a mountain. Of course, that is false. There is only one way in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then that's one point that you have in terms of being a true believer. But the second point he brings to our attention here is concerning love for all the saints. Now, the saints here, he just means Christians. If you love the believers, then the Spirit of God is at work in you. The Spirit is at work if you can love all the Christians. Now, it doesn't say just Christians maybe in your church or Christians in your country or Christians in your family. It talks about having love for all the saints. And that is the challenge that we have here. Your love for all the saints. And we are aware that we have a lot of differences in this world. There are Christians who are very, very educated, and others are not so educated. There are Christians that are very rich, and there are Christians that are very poor. And the Bible is saying, do you love all these saints? Whatever their state, there are Christians who are very young. There are Christians who are not so young. There are Christians who are men. There are Christians who are women. There are Christians from all our different nationalities, our different ethnic groups in the world, different cultural backgrounds. There are Christians that can't be described as they are black, there are others who are white. Are those who can speak English and those who can't speak English? There are Christians who are persecuted and Christians who are not persecuted. If you are able to love all the Christians, it can only be the Spirit of God at work. It's not easy to love some Christians, is it? It's not easy. Let's not pretend. But the point is, if the Spirit of God is at work in your life, you will love the believers, you know, all types of believers in the society. And within Ashford itself, there are all different types of Christians. Before we even go out to think about the persecuted church, you know, there are some of us who are very comfortable in our situation. There's no persecution as in other countries. But do we really love the believers who are being killed for their faith? Do we pray for them? Do we even think about them? And what the Bible is saying here is that you must love all the saints. And he's telling the Colossians that, you know, your Christianity is standing out. One, because you have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But secondly, you love all the believers. All the saints that you have come across, you love them. And that love is an evidence of the Holy Spirit, you know, at work. The Holy Spirit at work because of the love that you have for all the saints. And then thirdly, he says you have hope for heaven. You know, hope played up for you in heaven. So the ultimate future for a Christian is not really to own a mansion here, as it were. The ultimate future of a Christian is to be in eternity with God. Let me just read a few verses from Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, verse 24. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with our perseverance. We are enjoying a foretaste of what is to come as children of God today. We should be singing the hymn, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." That's what we are being told here in just Colossians 1 and verse 27. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is in Christ, the hope of glory. We have a hope that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This world is not our home. The full experience of being with the Lord has not yet come. We are going to be with the Lord at one time, you know, or another. Verse 3, chapter 3, verse 4 says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him, you know, in glory. I don't know whether you're able to go to the book of Revelation, for example, with John on the island of Patmos, when he's talking about the revelation, you know, of Jesus Christ. Most of his friends by then had been killed for their faith, most of the other disciples, but John on the island of Patmos is looking at, you know, the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, from Genesis up to Revelation, the Bible has been laboring to try and show us that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have life, you know, eternal. If you believe in him, your sins will be forgiven. And you are going to enter eternity, you know, with God. There is heaven prepared for you, you know, when you are in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is such a thing as a hope that is awaiting, you know, the believers, you know, in the Lord. I wonder how much we think about heaven. Are we so comfortable with the world that we don't think about the coming, you know, of our Lord Jesus Christ and going to be with him in eternity? The people of God in the Bible, especially look at the disciples, you know, those who were killed for the faith, they were looking to the Lord throughout their lives. They were looking for the hope that is in heaven, you know, set for us. Our bodies may be giving up now, but for the believer, there is such a thing that God has prepared, you know, laid up for you in heaven. You are going to be transformed, given a new body, and an eternity, you know, with God. Are you looking forward, you know, to heaven? I remember in Zambia one time we had a visiting preacher from the UK, and this man, every morning, he would push the curtain aside and say, is it today, Lord? Right? Is it today, Lord? Is it today you are coming? You know, for some of us, we woke up today, we never thought about the fact that Christ can come today. We never thought about it. But there are people who are every day thinking about an eternity with our Lord. The Lord can disturb all your diary. You know, you've got a full diary. That diary can come to an end when the Lord comes. And so we should be preparing more about the hope that we have, you know, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Authentic spirituality is about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, love of the Christian brotherhood, and a longing for heaven, a longing for heaven. If there is no longing for heaven, maybe the faith is not there in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe the love of the brethren is not there. Because there ought to be a longing to be with the Lord eternally. Because we have believed in Christ, and with the whole company of believers that we have from all over the world, we are looking forward to that time when every tongue, every nation will be gathered before the Lord, for those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we looking forward to that? If all these three things are absent in your life, probably you may not be a Christian at all. If you have no faith in Christ, you don't love the Christians, you are not looking forward to heaven, the Colossians were being warned that all you need is the sufficiency, the lordship, the supremacy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him and love the brethren, and look forward, you know, to heaven. That is a challenge I want to bring to your attention this morning.